Yo, what's going on, people? It's your boy Kim, and welcome back to the Flying Intellectual Podcast. We're so grateful that we could have Kian Corliss on the show today. She's a designer, creative director, entrepreneur, photographer, essentially a Renaissance woman, straight out of the island of St. Croix in the U.S. Virgin Islands. She now resides in New York, where she has her own swimwear line, Cass Swim. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the conversation on the Flying Intellectual Podcast. Kian, how you doing?
How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the podcast. You are officially the first lady on the podcast.
Wow. So
I know. So I'm super excited because, you know, we always can use, especially in this world, the women's perspective is definitely one of those that I have learned to take very seriously and take it and let it lead me more and more, because y'all have such a unique perspective, man, and getting out of my own way. So first of all, thank you so much for finding the time, even though we're in this corona weird pandemic and all of that kind of stuff. So first of all, how are you doing in all of this corona stuff?
I'm actually holding up pretty well. I can't complain. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Very blessed.
Hey, amen.
Yeah, so I'm holding up pretty well. I'm staying busy.
Yeah.
I'm using my time wisely.
Mm-hmm.
I have no tricks or secrets for anyone. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to stay sane.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
And that's the thing. It's about trying to stay sane and that balance, and not driving ourselves crazy, trying to either overperform during this time or feeling like we're underperforming. So it's just about, like, try to maintain and navigate, since it's so new to all of us, pretty much.
Yeah, everything is new. Everything is fresh. I know people. I saw somebody tweet that they hate the new normal. That term, the new normal, but we have to accept it for what it is. Like, nothing is going to be the same. It is
right. I arguably compare it to 9/11. To me, in my lifetime, is the only thing that's comparable is 9/11. And even so, I mean, the world came to a halt and things changed definitely directly, but I don't think it literally crippled the whole world like corona did. So
right, I see what you mean. It did. Everything changed. The way we travel changed. You're
Facts.
Right, like,
Facts.
It did change, but this is, like, so personal and invasive.
Mm.
You really don't know what to believe at this time, you know? So
yeah, it definitely it's that's the scariest part, because it's like, we're, you know, in this time you kind of look to leadership, and, you know, we're not about to stay and make this a political show, but, you know, and let's keep it real, if we had more trust in our leader at this point, I don't think it would feel as dire as it does. So anyway, back to why we're here. Kian Corliss, designer, creative director, I mean, essentially, photographer. I call you a Renaissance woman. And, you know, we've known each other and communicated over time for a couple of years. And I've always wanted to, like, have you on the platform. And then we've met, of course, through our mutual friend Kayla. And the same person that I saw on social media was the same person that I met in real life. And I always cherish those type of people, because this we know, you know, there's some perpetrators out here that you know, they look like they're one thing online, and then you meet them and it's not even close. So talk to us, tell me about the genesis of Kian coming from St. Croix, growing up. How did the Virgin Islands have an effect on who you are today?
Okay, I'm gonna be honest with you. The last 3 years, I really learned this question and how, you know, St. Croix and growing up in the Caribbean has helped me. But I realized that, and this is with help from experts, of course.
Okay.
I realized that growing up in such a small place, I had such a huge imagination, and I've just always played off of that imagination. And not only just having the imagination, I figured out ways to make those things, you know, come to life.
Yeah, a reality. So,
Yeah, a reality. So Syncore really has just been everything from my inspiration, from the way we grow up to our manners, because manners really get you a long way, whether
you
admit it or not. Yeah. So from that, being able, you know, we come from such a small place where you're always going to run into somebody you're not fond of. And have to put
learn how to navigate.
Yep, exactly. And you have to do that in business. You have to do that in New York times 10. So I just, St. Croix and the Virgin Islands has just been a huge impact in the way I create, even to just being swimwear as my niche.
Right, of course.
Yeah,
of course.
When I went to design school, when they would say design winter, I'm like, winter? I don't know what.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. It's summer all year round for we.
Yeah. So I had to learn, like, that's not a bad thing. Like, that's not your weakness. Like, you really have an entryway to make a niche. And so that's just how I've been playing it, so on and so forth. And everything else that came after that, as far as photography, those are just me, again, being a Caribbean woman, knowing what discipline is, knowing that we've often had many jobs, so really it's nothing. So learning that just is just a way to save money. If I have a vision, I know how to execute it if I have the discipline. So, you know, my father, well, my dad, I have a father and a dad. My dad is a photographer, and so if I have people around me who can teach me, why would I not learn that to to apply it to myself? Because I believe creative directors should have other skills. They should know how to take pictures. They should know how to sketch some sort. They should know how to at least take a picture, at least.
At the very least, I agree wholeheartedly. But the thing is, in this day and age, it feels like delegating is the thing, right? Because now it's like, oh, I can just hop on social media. I can put hashtag photographer in Atlanta or wherever I am. And, you know, I have instant access to a database of a plethora of people. When back in the day and where we're from, you know, the ability to be able to reach out outside of your dynamic and outside of your actual community was small. So we learn how to be Renaissance people. Our parents were like, oh, I could fix a fridge. Oh, yep. I could throw a party. Oh, I could do that. You know, so it was this, it was this Renaissance mentality that we grew up with.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. It's crazy. I looked at go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I was just going to say that's how my parents are. And I learned again in the last 3 years that's why I am the way I am. I've seen my parents start multiple businesses. I've seen them shift multiple areas. I've seen them go from owning a laundromat to owning a shoe store. So yeah, it's just in our blood. And I just want to make it work for me. I may not be Bill Gates, but how can I make it work for where I am and what I have?
And Bill Gates wasn't Bill Gates until he started thinking a certain way and applying certain mentality to what he wanted to do. Listen. Like for me, it's like my dad grew, you know, had his own business in St. Croix, and it was funny because I don't want to go too far. I really want to have a great conversation. We're gonna be talking about everything under the sun. But you know, the fact of the matter is, my dad almost didn't want me to be an entrepreneur because I don't know, and I can't speak for him. But you know, just me trying to be introspective and just really seeing what's going on, I feel like he thought that was his only choice, right? Yeah. Where now I sent you to school, you know, I did all this kind of stuff, you know, because I don't want you working as hard. But my thing is, hey, okay, I might not work as hard. I might not be in the hot sun cutting grass or like fixing, you know, cars or whatever. But at the same time, that hustler mentality and that entrepreneur spirit, I can use it with the technology that we have today, with the resource that we have today. And I can work smarter with that same mentality. And it gives me a better shot to be successful.
I agree.
Yeah. And that's the thing. So you come from, you know, as you said, I've been doing my research on you. You come from hustlers, you come from creative folks. Going back, you said you went to the International Academy of Design and Tech. I watched an interview where you said you didn't even start sketching till you got to college.
Yeah, and I love to. I know a lot of people say, you know, college is a waste of money, we go in so much debt, and I've just tried to always stick to the bright side. If you go to college to learn something that you absolutely are intrigued by, but you really don't know how to do, then I think it's worth it because I did not know how to sketch. They really trained my hand, you know?
And that's, yeah, that's, man, college. I always tell people, look, man, yes, there are a plethora of more, ways to, become successful, whatever that looks like to you. And school might not be in your cards. And now, I'm not going to tell you if you don't, if you're not a student or if you don't want to go to a higher level of learning in a organized setting that you have to, but it's discipline. It's still discipline for those 4 years, for those 2 years, whatever it is, discipline is going to help you in the long run, and you can never get enough discipline.
Right. You have to fail at like, okay, we're just going to be completely transparent. In
Absolutely.
school, I failed many courses. I had to take many courses over. I had to do it just to get the credits. But if going through failure in college is way better than going through
Going through
failure
failure in
in
life.
business. Yeah, in
Woo!
business and in life. Because I mean, yeah, you have to pay for it. You pay for the debt, whatever. We know it. It's a business overall. But if you are gaining something that you know you can use forever, as far as sketching for someone else, you know, I could probably do that in the future. I've done it before. Sewing, you know, in a time like this, in a Great Depression, if you can clothe your family, that's a great skill. So we really have to think of ways that we can apply it. You know, nursing. Come on, yeah, we all know nursing forever and ever. A mechanic. So we just really have to put a lot of thought into what we want to invest in and how we're going to apply it forever.
And adding your own sense of style to it, and bringing your own value to it, just like sewing, or any service realm. In this corona time, we recognize who really rose to the top. The rich and the famous, yeah, they can afford to probably stay a little more safe, but at the end of the day, we all were in the same pot, right? And
Yes.
these servicemen and women who are out here on the front lines, even the seamstress, the tailor, whatever, people making masks, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's so crazy how corona became like this evening factor where now the people who kind of are looked down upon became those who were leading us through this time. So that's it's just about finding whatever it is. I don't care if you're a garbage man. If you want to be a garbage man, be the best garbage man you can and try to figure out how to like go to another level. Just don't
Right.
stay there for 20 years
Right.
and just try and, mull over
We
it.
need to all think of how we can apply technology to what we're doing right now because clearly it's always been since, you know, MySpace and before when we could play with our own codes, it's been the future, you know? From Napster to
Absolutely.
LimeWire, like technology has always been the future.
Let's talk about Cass. So when did Cass initially become a thing?
Initially, it became a thing I would have to say about around 2012 is when I really was like, okay, like this is maybe like my thing. Because in school, no one says, like, I want to leave and start a business or start a line. Most people want to work for a name, they want to gain some sort of experience. And that really didn't happen for me. So when I went to St. Croix and I shot my first collection and I saw how everyone was responding, and then I just realized that I could do things my way. Like I can work, I could hustle in New York, I can plan on how to make a brand, I can spend a year drafting patterns. So I spent a year just solely just drafting patterns. Like what's my bottom's gonna look like, what's my top's gonna look like, and then I keep the best ones. So that's when it became a thing, and when I realized that I'm one person, you can't do it all. I'm definitely not in a place to ask for help because what am I asking for help on? I don't know exactly what I'm doing. So as soon as I started to dive into each section by myself, I was like, this really is a thing. And I'm reaching that 10. Sorry to cut you off, but
no, you're good. Go
ahead. I just realized yesterday that I'm reaching that 10-year mark, and a lot of times that I'm looking at new brands, and to me they're new, and I read their background, and they're like, this brand has been around since this year, and I'm like, damn, you know. So you really have to be at it for a good 9 to 10 years to really, really know, because fashion is not media where it's easily consumed. Fashion is not music where it's easily consumed.
Right.
Can't just go in the studio, turn something out, and then boom, it hits 1,000 people, you know?
Yeah.
You really have to, your clients really have to trust you.
Wow. And of course, for you, you know, fashion, the umbrella of fashion, as you said, it takes, you really have to put in your 10,000 plus more hours of proficiency, right? You really have to prove just to become not even a fashion house, but just to become a relevant designer, period. So you're in New York. Why New York? What drew you to New York? What drew you to the Mecca? What drew you to the rat race of New York?
Well, I always liked New York. My father has lived in New York all my life, my biological father. And my grandmother has lived in New York for half of my life, my grandmother that raised me. So when I would come to New York and I would just see how it was just a larger than St. Croix. There, you know, nobody. Nobody was in your business. There could be a million things going on at once. You know, I was a dancer. So, you know, of course, Broadway, the lights, everything. Everything about New York, I was just, it was a fantasy to me. It still is a fantasy to me. I have the biggest fetish with New York. I can't explain it. It is a dirty, dangerous place. Don't get me twisted.
It's a dirty, dangerous place. I think you live in Harlem,
yeah,
right?
I live in Harlem. I live in Harlem. I live in the blackest place. Don't think Brooklyn is the blackest place. Like, this is Harlem.
Wow.
The Harlem Renaissance, like, you know, the one train. So, and I love it here. And I live next to Rucker Park. That's like in my backyard, basically.
Oh, wow. The historical Rucker Park.
Yeah, I hear the games from my apartment when they did have games. So I just have a fantasy with New York. There's Little Italy. There's Chinatown. You know, I just ordered fabric during a pandemic from the Garment District, which is on 38th Street. And I feel like I ordered it in the morning, but it was here like the next day. So...
wow.
Everything is at your fingertips. If you know how to maneuver, if you know how to be friendly but not be too friendly.
Real. This is real. This is real life stuff. Yes.
You have to know how to move and you'll be good. And I'm going
to have your wits about you.
Yes, exactly. And you can't get caught up in a lot of the things out here, because a lot of the things, it's not only dangerous, but it's not real. So,
Yeah. New York is, I always say, man, and I think like coming from the Virgin Islands too, I think, you know, knowing how to navigate there, you can navigate anywhere, just on small scale. And sometimes, you know, I see parallels with New York. A lot of the time, I think we were very, and let's just stay in the realm of fashion. We were influenced a lot by New York. You know, I could speak for myself. I remember wearing the wheat Tims, I remember wearing the Yankee cap. You know, that was like, that was St. Croix. And, you know, I can only speak for St. Croix, but I would argue the VI. That was the VI uniform. You know what I'm saying? The big white tee.
Tims. And I'm like, why? Yeah. And me as a fashion, like, I know fashion, like, why are these men wearing Tims on an island? I don't
get it. On an island in 80 degrees. But hey, you got crisp. Well, you got a crisp pair of Tims, wheat Tims.
Yeah,
listen. Yeah, it was no other feeling. And no, we're not buying the, just like New Yorker, we're not buying the black ones. They don't count.
Yeah.
Like, now, wheat Tims, the butters, that's what we're wearing. And then even like the music, I can say that I was influenced the most musically by New York. Like I listened to a lot of Dipset. I listened to Jay-Z, like, during coming
come
up.
On,
so
Ja Rule. Come on.
Ja Rule. Yeah. 50. Yeah. Even 50. Yep. Yeah. 50, you know. Lon, he actually introduced me to 50. I'll never forget that. He was like, yo, is this guy from like New York? Like, he's so hard.
Let me tell and I'm like, you, okay. Let me tell you, my uncle, and I just used to think about this, like, fashion goes with just style and cars. Like, fashion is in every market, right? So now that we talk about music and 50 Cent and the influence, like, my uncle used to have spinners, and I'm just like thinking about how popular that was too. So
that was so, so popular. Latrell Sprewell, the Sprewell.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I agree with you. DMX.
DMX?
Yeah, very influential. New York is just a very majestic place, and it's amazing. If you can look past the bullshit, and that's life. In life, you have to look past a lot of bullshit, so.
Talk about it. So talk about it. Talk about it.
It's just like any other place. You just got to know how to find your oasis. Make your home your safe place. You know, don't allow anybody in your house. And that's how we grow up anyway. We don't let anybody in our yard. We don't. So.
Yeah, yeah. Very, very selective with who we let in our space. So let's segue right there. Space, mental health, all this kind of stuff are synonymous. So we'll get back to the fashion. We'll get back to your story. But part of your story and something that I've been super inspired from you with is the way that you're very introspective. You're a light, your energy, it can be felt millions of miles away. And in my last podcast, it was about being intentional in the silence, just basically alluding to, you know, Corona and how I was finding ways to be deliberate about things because we didn't have as much of the rat race. You know, it had kind of slowed down a little bit and we were all allowed, you know, a little bit of time of reflection. And when you look at your social media, one thing that I'm always impressed with is the start of your mornings. And I want to talk about that. I want to talk about how you always are being deliberate about the start of your mornings and how important is the start of your morning to your day and your mental health.
Yeah, the morning, honestly, I'm going to be honest with you guys. A lot of mornings I may wake up very exhausted and I don't want to get out the bed and I don't feel like it. You know, sometimes I'm like, what's the point? But that's a shift. I learned that you can shift that with anything. I used to be a dancer and I talk about when it comes to mental health, I talk about feeding my inner child a lot. So my inner child is a dancer. That's what she is. Everyone has an inner child. Most of us, the guys, they're basketball players, they're football players, you know what I'm saying? They're musicians. So my inner child is a dancer. Something that's gonna make me vibrate higher. So I always try to feed my inner child in the morning. Whether it's reading my devotional, I always have that on deck. And I stick to what works. I had the same devotional for 3 years. Why would I switch it up?
Wow.
It's a new message every day. For 365 days, it's not like I'm going to remember all 365 of them. Every year we go through something different, right? So find a cool devotional that you can relate to. I read that. I make sure that's handy. I make sure that I feed my inner child, whether that be dancing or singing, something of that nature. My pet, I don't know if people like pets, have pets, want pets. You know, my pet makes sure that I have out a morning walk and an evening walk, which is very healthy and which we don't pay attention to, which sometimes we can go days without. You know, I see people on social media saying that they haven't left the house in like weeks. And that's so easy. It's not to be judged upon. It's very easy for that to happen. I've been there. My dog really helps me a lot. So that's like my accountability partner. And some of us have, you know, we have boyfriends, girlfriends, wives, husbands, fiancés. So accountability partner is really good. So the morning is really just about making sure I have a true restart, whether I'm tired or not. So if I need tea, I have my tea always. Sometimes, I'm not going to lie, I need something a bit stronger, so I have my coffee, because it's going to be those days where you really have to zone in. And now I feel like I'm talking to people more than ever, so now I really need my mornings, you know?
And that's for me. It's like I'm always big on starting the morning right. I always say, hey man, if I can master that first 20 minutes once I wake up, you know, you try your best to not look at your phone. You try your best not to like let the world draw you into the issues of the day before I prepare myself mentally, whether that's a devotion, you know, saying my prayer, you know, get a workout in. You know, it might not happen exactly verbatim the same way every morning, but right, exactly. That's okay. But make sure that there's one thing that for the most part you can't go without to make sure that you're giving yourself a fair shot at conquering that day. Let's stay right there. So you said a couple things that help you are your pet, which was that was actually like an answer I didn't even think of. Like the pet giving you that responsibility and telling you, hey man, time to go for a walk. Like, that's genius. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey man, time to go for a walk. Let's do it. No time for, because I gotta go outside. Yeah. So if you had to talk to the younger generation right now, who I feel like the younger generation, honestly, they're leading us as it applies to the open conversation of mental health. Because I can speak for myself. Growing up, you know, in that Caribbean household, and I could only speak for myself. There are some parents that were, like my girlfriend's parents, I feel like her mom was like super open, yeah, and like they had these certain conversations. But I come from like an older parents, so like certain things it was taboo. Yeah. Like we just never talked about it. How did you even get in tune with your mental health journey?
Let me tell you, so I have both the balance of your girlfriend and yourself, because my grandmother had my mom at a very young age, and then my mom had me at a very young age. And my grandmother is very just, be quiet, go read your Bible. Like,
yeah. Pray it away. You know, the Lord will do his thing, like, you know.
Don't let me smack you, like, what?
Yeah.
My mother is very... She don't yell at me unless I've seen my mother yell, and my mother's only gonna yell at me if I provoke her, and we think that's funny, right? We do it for fun, but
yeah. But of course,
when it comes to things like if she can't talk to me about it, my mother would write me a letter. So I learned that there's multiple ways to communicate from my mother. And then I learned that there's some people who are only capable of communicating one way because that's all they know. And so I decided to take the other way. Like, you know, people talk about, we hear all the time, generational curses, healing generational curses. Well, that's one of them. It's really how we talk to each other. A lot of older people in my family, like, something may happen and we may all settle with a solution with ourselves and we'll just like let it go. Like we call it sweeping it under the rug, right?
Under the rug.
But I'm the one to like yell and scream and cry and tell everyone what's wrong with them. And like, that's me. So that's part of it. We have to do the ugly stuff so that we can get to the good stuff. And, you know, it works. I come from a time where me and my mom would sit and, you know, say we have to teach our elders, you know, how to be softer, how to say, I love you, you know, and we just say it, even though we know they're not going to say it back, we just have to say it. So you have to do the hard stuff.
Wow. No, absolutely. I remember the first time, like, a grown man outside of my dad said he loved me. That shit, I didn't know how to respond. It threw me, you know. It was just like, bro, you too, you know, like whatever I said at the time. And now for me, it has become normal. Why? Because I was deliberate about it. And it's so many stuff that we come from or you know, those generational things that. Which are real, right? These are like tangible things that you can like draw a direct correlation to of why we are a lot of the times, you know, the way we are. And it's about reprogramming. It's about taking the good, because there was a lot of good coming from our parents and all of that, and we wouldn't be this far without even their imperfections, you know, the good within their imperfections. But at the same time, it's our responsibility, because what I'm recognizing now with my mental health journey is that it's our responsibility, right? You know, as long as you know, it's hard to say all our life is our responsibility. It really is. But as long as you pass a certain age threshold, you know, and you're in this real world, it's kind of hard for you to continue to blame certain things for the reason you are the way you are.
People who are going on 40 who still blame certain things on the way they are. And
yeah, you're right. Age has nothing to do with it. You're right.
And you really have to be that person to say, I need to take responsibility. And it sounds so easy, but it's very hard. It's very hard.
Very uncomfortable. It can be ugly. It can be, because putting a mirror in front of yourself is not fun. Nobody truly wants to like look at themselves and say, hey, Kem, you know, you really have these kind of ways about you that's like not really becoming. And like, you know, you could do better, you know? Yeah.
And then, because once you say that to yourself, then you're like, oh, damn, how many other people have seen this of me? And you know, that's the scariest part. So now other people want to dress themselves up so other people don't even see it. But listen, the real you is going to come through eventually.
Regardless.
So you have to just start early and just stop faking the funk and just face reality and just work on it. Because it's truly a beautiful thing. You don't know who you're helping. Everybody's story is different.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't be ashamed of your story, because it's going to inspire somebody. Will Smith, I believe it was, he was talking about how we all create essentially a facade of a version of ourselves, right? Whatever version of ourselves it takes to get into certain doors or to get into certain relationships or whatever, right? We put on this front, you know. And some, what he was really talking about was some people, it becomes so normal, they forget that this is the fake version of themselves. So now it becomes who they are over time. And he was saying the truest form of yourself, you cannot become that unless you do away with that fake version of yourself and truly be who you are meant to be.
It's true. And it's okay. In the beginning of my mental health journey, I stripped away. Like, I was working in retail. I was working at Guess. I was a manager. So, like, you know, I had, like, 35 pairs of jeans, you name it. Like, I had to be fresh all the time. You know, my hair was blowed all the time, you know, makeup, everything. And there really was a time where I was like, you know what? I'm getting rid of my cable box because too much reality TV. I got rid of all the people. I threw out half my clothes. People thought that I was going batshit crazy, okay? Like, they're like, this girl is going through it. But I really was just trying to strip away the stuff so I can see myself. And it sounds so, like, extreme and dramatic, but sometimes we have to do dramatic shit. Like, there's people who shave their head and go bald. Like, it's equivalent, you know? So, yeah, you really have to get rid of all the things you hide behind, every single last one of it. And you know what? You don't have to make a thing of it either. Like, you don't have to announce it. You don't have to share your journey the whole time. Like, it's really
post every day, like day 400. Yeah, no. I just threw out my clothes, you know, like.
You don't have to do it. And living minimal has helped me so much because naturally, yes, I like nice things. Naturally, that is me. But I can have a little bit of very nice things. I learned that. And I can be really, really full in self-awareness and, like, love and all that stuff and have a little bit of very nice things and just keep that balance. Because what's really most important is myself. Like, I cannot lose.
Right.
I cannot lose, you know, my core at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, this, and ladies and gentlemen, this is why I wanted Kian on, because I already knew like the truest form of this conversation, because of course it's May, as we know, and it's Mental Health Awareness Month. And when I went to her, she was like, it's funny because I hadn't asked her about the mental health aspect for her. She just, hit me over the head like, hey, man, would you mind if we, like, had some talk about mental health? I was like, no, I wouldn't mind. Actually, that's what I want. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, it's, you know, I want to make sure that I'm doing my part using my platform. And I'm trying to be as transparent as I can be about my journey. And, you know, it's not easy, as you said. You know, it's tough, man. And some nights you go to sleep or you don't sleep and you're literally, like, trying to figure out, like, okay, you know, damn, this is rough. You know, this doesn't feel good. What am I supposed to be doing? What does God have for me to do? And it takes a lot out of you, but it really is about reprogramming and is about becoming the highest version of yourself. And I think the flying intellectual way for me is, like, you know, stepping outside of status quo and pushing yourself forward to a new level. So that embodies everything. It embodies career, it embodies mental health, it embodies relationships, like whatever it is that we're going to have to interact with throughout life. I want to make sure that I'm doing it at a high level. So once again, we appreciate Keyan Corleese being on. If you're just tuning in, which you shouldn't be because you have to listen from the top, it's that it's good. Really good. But Keyan is with us today, talking about her journey, being a designer, being an entrepreneur, being from the island of St. Croix, living in the big city, becoming the best version of herself, all of this in one. So let's switch back a little bit to your career. And I want to say, so the fashion industry is one of the hardest industries to get into, point blank, period. And I think that's a fact. What are three misconceptions that you think people have about the fashion industry?
I think, excuse me. One, I think that they think that if they dress nice, that they can be in the fashion industry. That's not.
Yikes. Yikes. Newsflash. Because you dress nice, you can. That does not give you enough credence. Got it.
If you dress nice, you should be a fashion editor. There's lots of jobs for you. You can be,
of course,
like an editor. I mean, fashion editor, yes, that's in the fashion industry.
A blogger.
But that's not in production. So we need to be straight. You know, that's not production. That's not e-commerce. Yeah. That's not marketing to your client. You know, if you can be an editor, you can be a stylist, those things. So there's definitely other ways other than providing a service where you can be in the fashion industry. Because I mean, as a person, as a creative, I think you need to provide more than just one item, you know, like a t-shirt. Maybe you provide a service and then your service accompanies a t-shirt. You know what I'm saying? Like you have merch or something.
Mm-hmm. Merch, right.
Right. Another thing is, you know, these fast fashion, it's cute, but it's not forever. And I think we've just seen that. So a lot of people believe in fast fashion. Oh, I'm going to start a boutique. I'm just going to order my stuff from China. We're going to fill it up and boom, I have a store. Great. But there's like how many other thousands of people who are doing that? So really, you really need to learn a skill so that you can make yours not like anything else out there. And that's really where it is. So there, don't get stuck into fast fashion. Don't build a business on fast fashion. Be okay with like a slow build.
The long game, and delayed gratification.
Right. And when you learn a skill, you can sell that skill to other people and then you're taken care of. Yes, it's not yours, but you're still taken care of. You're still doing what you like and you're still making an income. So there's multiple ways to do fashion. Learn a skill, learn multiple skills, learn as much skills as you can, you know? The third one, I'm not sure what the third one would be.
That's fair.
Yeah. I mean...
Yeah,
I'm not sure what the third one would be.
That's fine. You gave us two major ones. Let's talk about back to Cass. What was one of your fondest moments of feeling like you were going down the absolute correct path in your journey as a designer and with your own brand?
Absolutely Sports Illustrated, because I mean that's major to me. I think that's something that I can brag about for the rest of my life. Not saying that I brag Absolutely. About because at first it felt so unbelievable, you know?
Yeah.
But now I've started to make note of that, that that's a huge accomplishment, and it's definitely an indication, because the first time we were in Sports Illustrated, people think that, you know someone, you know an editor, and you get it in, but honestly, they...
You were emailing, that was email correspondence,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they send you mood boards of what they're looking for, and you create that sample by their deadline, wow. And you send it. And you don't know if...
That's a lot of pressure. Yeah,
you don't know if they photograph it. You don't know what island they're going to. You have no clue. Just one day, they're like, is this yours? How much is it? And you have to wait until it's printed. So me doing all that work, all those deadlines for 2 years, and the features getting bigger and bigger, from a quarter mm-hmm. of a page to a full page spread plus, within 2 years, I was like, this is definitely my journey. And yeah. For years after, they keep using the images as promo images for social media. So I'm constantly reminded and haunted. So I'm like, there's no way that this is not what I'm supposed to be doing. And I can do so many other things, but swimwear is definitely my platform, you know? And it's in my DNA. Yeah. I cannot deny that it's not in my DNA.
Right. Wow. So being that in tune with yourself and being a creative, what percentage would you say, or how much of the industry affects you when it comes to trends, or versus like creating on your own conviction? Because of course, being in the fashion industry, you know, there are seasons and things change, and, you know, it might look like this today. It might not look like that today. You're in like swimwear. So now you're creating your own aesthetic. And, but of course we all are inspired by something. So being in that whole industry, talk to me a little bit about conviction, your own personal conviction versus having to fight like the trends and the pressures of what's hot in swimwear every day.
Okay, so when I decided to have a brand, my main thing was to remember that for me, there is no winter, spring, summer, winter, spring, summer, fall. There's none. For me, there is people go on vacation all the time. They go on vacation with their companion. They go on vacation with their girls. They go on vacation with their families, their in-laws. Just think, they go on vacations on a boat, on a plane, on an island, you know, just think of all those things. And to remove myself of the pressure of the seasons and the fashion, right? Wow. And I've been working on that for the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. And which is funny, because now everyone is saying that they're doing away with the fashion weeks and all of that. They want to get...
Just because of the corona thing? Like, this is a new adjustment. Yes. Wow. Yes. Wow.
So, it's really a great place. So, though I struggled with that a lot, because when you think of the pressure of, damn, I have to produce a full line of at least 30 pieces by this time, and I'm in a niche market, why would I do that to myself? Why would I put myself through that much pressure? I'm not making a raincoat and a puffer and like a windbreaker. Like, I'm making bikinis and cover-ups and linens and silks and, you know, things that some people may want 7 of, but one person may only want 1 of because it's that good. So,
right.
And
wow.
I am a person that cares about the planet. So that's another one. I care about the planet. I care about the earth. So making sure that I'm not getting fabric and stuff from China. So I personally had to go to LA and figure out where these factories are, because there are factories and no one talks about them. Mm-hmm. And people think you got to go to China and India, and there's cities with factories with immigrant workers and women workers, and they need jobs, and they need clients like myself. So taking that time out to go myself and find factories, that's been something, and not going the way of hiring somebody else to do it for me, because I was trying to try out a factory here in New York. And when the Corona thing happened, they emailed me telling me that because of the virus, their factories in Sri Lanka. I said, Sri Lanka? That is against my morals. What do you talk about Sri Lanka? I thought your business was in New York. They said, no, they are just registered in New York. So you really, you really have to be in love with what you do. Not so much attached, but in love enough to go yourself and do your research. So that's been another thing, because the internet is easy. At the click of a button, I can have anything I want. But is it truly and truly what I want?
Yeah. Yeah. That's heavy. That's heavy. Segueing back a little bit to mental health as it applies to self-doubt. Have you ever wanted to give up on your brand? And if so, how do you push through that negative self-doubt?
All the time. I want to give up all the time. Let's just be honest.
That's real. That's real.
I want to give up all the time, but then you only do that when it feels like too much. Let's be honest. Like, I want to give up all the time. All the time, sometimes it does feel like too much because we're humans, first of all. We're not what we do. We're not our titles. Yes, I'm a designer, but first I'm a human being. And there's a lot that goes on with being a human being. So yes, I want to give up all the time. But then I put all this work in. What the hell else am I going to do? You know what I'm saying? And I love it so much. And if I stop, I'm going to be like, damn, remember when I was a designer?
Yeah, you'll be the remember. You'll be the remember when lady. Shoulda, woulda, coulda, right?
So it's either be washed up or go hard. So I'm going to always choose to go hard. And I come from a place of faith. So as long as I have faith, it's okay to feel like I want to give up. Like, it's a lot to carry. Yeah. I do a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah. 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 And that's why we got you on the show. We know you do a lot. So we're grateful. We're grateful for you to be on and share your story. Who are some of your favorite inspirations right now, whether a designer or non-designer? So I know we all draw inspiration from different mediums.
You know what? I'm really bad at names.
That's
fair. Really bad at names, but I really like to watch certain docuseries for inspiration.
Okay.
And so in this last thing that I've been tuned into, it's called Home. And it's it's an Apple series. And I've been very inspired by this because these are people that they study that have creative backgrounds or whatnot, but they study how they decide to build their home, and how they build their home has a lot to do with their upbringing or their jobs. Mm-hmm. So there's this Japanese guy on there who bought a small space in Japan, and in like 1990, I don't know. And he's changed it over the years so many times because he's focused on adapting and not so much as upgrading, but how to make things work for you. And it's such a mind fuck because he doesn't need a lot. And so this has been very, very inspiring to me, seeing how people live. There's another person who built their house out of bamboo, like all bamboo, big bamboo logs. Yeah. So it shows you how we can get out of the norm and we can definitely live the life that we want to create, whether it be small or big. And then you can recreate. So that's been very inspiring to me. And then an older one on Netflix is called Abstract. So
Abstract is good.
So they study all these examples. Yeah. So that's been, I like to tap into those things because those things I can listen to as I work. And I know a lot of people use podcasts for that too. Those are very inspiring.
But you're a visual artist too.
Exactly. So mm-hmm. I may not remember all the people on these shows, but all the people on these shows are very, very dope, and I really love them and I respect them.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome, man. How, at the end of the day, if you were to compare the creating of your first bikini to and the journey throughout to it being in Sports Illustrated, if you had to compare, what was the feeling? Which one felt the most victorious or the most triumphant to you? Like, was it the creating that first bikini and being like, okay, like I really literally took an idea from my mind, as you said, because I don't think we shared that earlier. Well, I think we did, but one of Kian's, I sent her like a little general questionnaire, and I wanted to know like what really like inspired her the most about design and what brings her the most satisfaction. And she was like, the ability to be able to take something that literally started as an idea and make it tangible, make it real. And she was like, that's a superpower. And it absolutely is a superpower. So I just wanted to know, the creation of your first bikini when Cass came into existence, or your Sports Illustrated for 2 years straight?
I think it wouldn't be the Sports Illustrated for 2 years straight. I think it would be the Sports Illustrated the first time.
First time? Okay.
The funny you say that, I was trying to think of how many swimsuits I've made in my lifetime, and I can't remember. I cannot tell you how many swimsuits I've made. So I barely even remember my first swimsuit. So I would say definitely when I opened that magazine and I saw that the name was printed and it had a price point, I knew that I had like set a bar for myself. And not only for myself, but I knew like people, it was international. So everyone around the world like is introduced to me at that level. So that felt the most real. And then from that, I learned the second time I learned that I can either be someone who's constantly printed in this magazine, or I can build something real from it now. So we just go from now being trendy to being a lifestyle. So I've been working on that for the last 2 years. So that first time is definitely the most memorable and the most impactful of seeing that the first time.
And it makes sense because it was, you know, back to the mental health. It's a pat on the back, right? It's a proverbial pat on the back. It's like, okay, Kian, you did this. Like, this is like, it's just a stamp. And we all want a little bit of a stamp of just, hey man, you're in the right direction. Hey man, all this work is not in vain. You know what I'm saying? And I guess at that level, you know, that feeling of like, oh my God, you know what I'm saying? Like Cass is being printed, whether it was a quarter page, whether it was less than that, it didn't matter. As long as you saw your brand and something that you literally, as you said, imagined and made real with God's help and with your hard work, and now it's being shown on that platform, the feeling has to be unimaginable.
It is. And honestly, where I was in my life at that moment, I needed it. And I didn't, I'm going to be very transparent with you. When we printed that, I didn't even have money to buy a copy of the magazine.
Wow. I'm pumped
to start. I swear to you, my friend, my good friend, shout out to Siobhan. We all went to a release event and she bought it for me because at that time I spent so much like my last dollars on just buying fabric, just producing it.
Yeah, to produce
just
that.
Sending it, mailing it overnight sometimes because I worked. I had a job, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't even have money, so I needed it. And when stuff like this happens to you, I'm not going to lie to you. There are people who made me feel guilty throughout life. There are people who say, oh, if you didn't have that, you wouldn't be as confident as you are. And they have no idea.
Absolutely wrong.
Where you were at that point in your life, where you needed that. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm about to start crying.
Oh, man. I'm not Barbara Walters, but hey. You know what I'm saying? We want to make sure that we're being honest and transparent. And that's what it is about, man. It's about giving the next generation the keys. Hey, man, it's not going to be easy. Hey, man, you know what I'm saying? You're not the only one who is on your last trying to make a dream come true. You know, I've been homeless. I've I did an interview for a magazine the other day or whatever, and I, as I'm writing the answers, like, yeah, I started crying too, because it's, you know, you have to give yourself credit and the small victories. Everything doesn't have to be a home run. Right. The single, the double, the triple, it counts in baseball just like it counts in life. And a lot of the time we're very cruel to ourselves. I can speak to myself, like, I'm doing better with just the way I talk about myself. You know what I'm saying? The power of the tongue. It's a real thing. And we want to make sure that we're being we're being kind to ourselves. And a lot of the time, our career and all of that, it makes it feel like it determines who we are. But no, we're more than that. And we really all go through all those types of struggles. And people only see the public victories, right? You know, people they only see the, oh, okay, Kian did this. She seems to be so confident. Oh, nothing goes wrong for her. But nah, they don't know you behind closed doors. They don't know the things you deal with. And they don't know what you have to go through and what you had to cry through to be able to smile and be the confident young lady that you are. So we're grateful, and I'm very grateful for you coming on this platform and sharing, you know, the unadulterated truth about your journey. Tell the people what you got going on, what they should be looking for, your website, your social media handle, whatever you want to plug right now, you got it.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So everyone should follow me. My handle.
If you didn't know, now you know.
My handle is Kiki Bikini, KEIKI Bikini, very easy. And then from there, it'll lead you to everything that I'm working on. There's Cass Swim, which is KASS Swim. We are definitely working on bringing a more efficient shopping experience to our customers. I realize, you know, as I'm onboarding people to help me in my weaknesses, that we had to make some changes, and I'm so happy that I can trust the individuals that I have. So soon we'll be bringing you a very much more easy shopping experience, very much more consistent. And then as far as creative, I'm definitely doing marketing and helping out some amazing tech companies for our future Caribbean, you know, just to make sure that we're not left behind, because we're such an amazing place. We have to stay up to date. Our governments have to stay up to date. Our people have to be in the new, you know. We cannot be left behind in how we pay for things, you know, in our internet, all those things.
Our industries, that stuff. No, I see that you're working with the USVI Tourism as well back home. So that's what more of what we need too. People who are actually in cultured abroad and at home, being able to bring new insight and foresight, so that we could continue making a better version of us for our kids and our kids' kids, right, and so on and so forth.
Right. We don't want to be left behind in anything. You know, we want to keep hold of our land. We want to keep hold of our culture. We want to share our culture in a beautiful light, you know, but we don't want to give, you know, our home away. So that's basically like my mission and what I have going on. Yeah. I feel like I've spent so much time off island, and then I spend a lot of time on island now, and I've grown a lot of appreciation for such a beautiful place. And I feel like I used to neglect it, and I really didn't know how much value it had, but
Absolutely. Yeah. We all did. We took it for granted.
So now it's my duty to use everything as a reflection of where I grew up, and how do I translate that? Because I am from such a complex, you know, place.
I'm from there too. So I talk about it as much as I can. You know, it's a beautiful place, and it's shaped who we are. And we're doing our best to give back. Over at with Cass Swim, with Flying Intellectual, with all of us as a unit, because even if we're working separately, we're all still working together to make a better world, make a better Virgin Islands, and to be a better version of ourselves. So Kian, thank you so much for coming on, man. I'm super excited, and once again, you didn't disappoint, so we appreciate you. And we're gonna keep looking for whatever the new stuff is coming out Because you're everywhere. So we're rooted for you over here.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you guys too. You guys have a good day. Stay safe and blessed.
Like. Yo, man, thanks for tuning into my podcast. Please don't forget to review, rate, and share. That would help me out a lot, and it helps get the platform bigger and better. If you want to follow me on Instagram, it's at FlyYoungIntellectual, at FlyYoungIntellectual. Hit me on Twitter, at Mr. M-I-S-T-E-R underscore F-Y-I. Connect with me, man. 2020, we're doing bigger and better things. If you really like the platform, tell somebody about it, man. Until next time, peace.